I don't want to come off as braggy in the new year, but that happened. And Tyler, I've lost connection, so you may have to run it from back there, but that'll be okay. But I just wanted you to see that I was the big winner at the Saran ball game. And I mean, I won a hat, a cool dinosaur, and a buck. And here's the thing about it. Like, I had never played the Saran ball game before. In fact, and this is the truth, I had never heard of the Saran ball game before. And I don't think anyone had. That game, it's weird how it just kind of exploded. I looked on YouTube, and I think the first mention of that game is 2016. There was two entries on YouTube. And then like 100 in 2017. And then by this year, there's bajillions of people playing that game. So it just spread everywhere. And if you don't know the game, there might be some of you who haven't played the game, but it was weird. Everyone I talked to this year, just this year, you know, if they had a Christmas party, they're like, yeah, we played this cool game. And there was a Saran ball. So what it is someone who has patience and time and money, like rolls up things in a ball of Saran wrap. It takes several things of Saran wrap, but there's candy and, you know, I think we had lottery tickets and gift cards and money. I mean, there was money. I think there was a $5 bill in there at the end. That was a big one. And obviously sock caps, and there was socks in there. And so we had, and I mentioned candy. I'm a little hungry after the holidays. I'm kind of cutting the carbs back, but there was all sorts of things in the thing. And the way the game worked is there's only one rule. You can't tear the Saran wrap, because I was like, I was going to pull out a knife, you know, and like just dig into it. Like I'm, you know, gutting an animal in Star Wars, you know, but that was not allowed apparently. So you have to grab the Saran wrap, find the end. And if the creator of the Saran ball is diabolical, what they do is they start a new end all the time. And you have to find the new end, and you can unwrap it while the person next to you is rolling dice. And until they roll doubles, you just get to unwrap. Now, some people can roll doubles very quickly. My son, Chris, for all of his good qualities, you could sit next to him for a month and a half, and he's never going to roll doubles. But everyone else, you know, you've got minutes or seconds to keep unrolling the Saran ball, and it's I'm going on and on, but I never win anything. So I just wanted you to see that. But here's the reason why I tell you about that game, that idea of like you're unrolling the Saran ball game of life, is, if you'll change the slide, Tyler, it reminds me of life. If you think about it, it just feels like life in the fact that, let's just be honest, not everyone gets the same opportunity. You know, like all of us sort of, when we're handed this big Saran ball of life, and yes, I've never said Saran so many times in a sermon before. This will be the day if you're keeping score. But the Saran wrap ball of life, you get it. And it's kind of interesting because it feels like life and the fact that you can look ahead. And that's the weird thing about Saran wrap. You can't tell how deep they are in there because there was something flashing in our ball. And then there's like, you can see money in there. And you're like, oh, that's going to be mine. And then you realize like it can go all the way around the table before you get to the money. You know, it takes a while because there's just that layer on there and you just keep unwrapping. But the interesting thing about it is like not everyone gets the same opportunity. Like when you get that great big Saran wrap ball that keeps getting smaller, like maybe you get chapstick and the other person gets lottery tickets. I mean, because that's sort of the way life is, right? Like as much as we like try to be nice and even things out and we try to do that, well, that feels civilized and modern and progressive. Like in life, people have different opportunities. People have different genetics. People have different family stories. People have different possibilities for them mentally and physically even. And it also reminds me of life because not only are you dealing with the Saran ball of life, you know, it's in front of you and you can sort of see inside of it and go, oh, I want that, but maybe you won't get it or maybe you will. But also, you have to deal with the people around you, right? Because there's the guy next to you who's rolling doubles, who maybe rolls it really fast or, you know, takes forever if you're sitting next to my son, Chris, which I wasn't. But I'm not bitter or anything, I swear. But, and then you also have to deal with the fact of the people around you. Like, you know, you go, some people like seem to set you up perfectly. They get it all unrolled and you just get to the next gift. And then other people, it seems like they leave you with nothing. Just you have to find the end every time. And so, life feels a lot like that game because not everyone has the same opportunity. And quite frankly, even if we had the same opportunity, there's a little bit of chance, you know, there's the dice roll, and there's also the fact that the people around you, they affect your life, right? Unless you live on an island with not a Saran wrap ball, but like, you know, Wilson, the soccer ball, like people around you, what they do affect your life, your kids, your family, your boss. And that's pretty tough to deal with because we're at the time of the year when we're thinking about making changes. If you switch slides for me, like what we would like life to be like is we'd like life to be like the choose your own adventure books. You know, remember those? Like those are great. Like you get to choose, you get to, and we do get to choose. Like we get to choose in life. We need to sort of make a choice now, and this is the time that we think about it. You know, we think about not just resolutions, but we sort of, I don't know about you, but even, you know, I'm not super resolution guy, but this is a great time to sort of reset life and go, what am I doing and what should I do in the new year and make new plans and new goals. So what we hope is like the choose your own adventure book, like that if we make a change now, it sort of could change our life story. That's what we want. And that's what we're so great about those books. If you put up the first one there, Tyler, for me, like Journey Under the Sea, you would hope that you could make the right choice and not get eaten by the shark. That's one of the choices, I'm pretty sure. And in The Race Forever, you hope that you win your race, although I don't know how you win a race that goes on forever. It doesn't seem very well thought out. And then there's Supercomputer, where you battle Siri or Alexa. I'm not sure which one. I love the artwork. And then there's 14 Beers at Chili, and there's no good ending to that story. Whatever you choose, it's not going to turn out well. Don't ask me how I know. But we all sort of hope that, right? Like we hope that our changes, like the changes we make, the choices we make, would affect the rest of our year. And that's true. And here's the thing about it that's also true. Like one small change now, just like the book, so it really is a lot like the books. Life is like choose your own adventure book in this sense that if you make one small choice now, it really changes the rest of your story. And even if you put up the list of even the simple sort of resolutions that we make. Like if you look at the top resolutions, learn a new skill or hobby. You know, and these seem sort of like, oh, everybody does this. Would somebody grab this and just put my regular notes up here? If somebody back there would run up and grab it. Thank you. So I have the ability to read it. But learn a new skill, hobby, or quit smoking, or read more, or find another job, or drink less alcohol, not 14 beers at Chili's. Spend more time. All of those seem sort of basic. If you just open up the regular keynote, I'll be able to follow along, and then I'll key him. They all seem sort of basic, and they seem like everyone at the office is going to make one of those resolutions. But if you think about it, they really do matter. Even those, I'm not here this morning to go, oh, those don't matter, those aren't spiritual. But think about, like, learn a new skill or hobby, that could change everything. You know, learn to code, learn to fight, learn to dance. They could have lasting impact on your life. Quit smoking, that might add years to your life. Unfortunately, they're at the end, but you're adding years to life. You know, it'd be more fun if you could add them at the front. Read more, that can change everything. Like just reading a book a week. They talk about the differences in lifespan and career, you know, path, and like just reading an actual book makes such a big difference, or finding another job. I mean, I don't know about you, but I look back and I think of like a job change, can change the trajectory of your life forever. Like we're here today because we decided to move across. I'm from Missouri, and we decided to move across the country to Baltimore, Maryland for a job, and went, oh boy, that was not a good idea, and wound up in York, Pennsylvania. And I say wound up because that's sort of just where we moved to build a house, had no real connection to York. But I believe that's God's plan. But if you were just looking at, oh, that was chance, I mean, it changed everything. I'm here today talking to you because of a job change, quite frankly. And drink less alcohol, that can make a big difference. Thank you, that's perfect. That can make a big difference long term. and spend more time with family and friends, building our family, building our relationships. Like, and one of the things that's not in there that a lot of people, that was in the top 10, is like finances. Saving money or getting out of debt, like those can also make huge difference down the road. And so many ways that life is sort of a choose your own adventure. Like you get to choose starting now or starting every year. And here's the secret. You could do this any time of year, but let's not overlook that like so many fitness plans, financial plans, so many things happen in January, and it's because it's a good time to start over. Now, these don't seem very spiritual to you, and you might go, well, that's not really church stuff, that's just life stuff. But it's a principle that Scripture is very, very sort of points to many times. In fact, if you read there, it says, for this sin of one man, Adam, this is sort of the whole story of the Bible put together in a tweetable size chunk, if you will. It says, for the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So if you want to sort of boil down the whole story of the Bible, and if you're a Christian this morning, if you're not a Christian, at least you'll know what Christians believe. But if you're a Christian this morning, basically this is the story of everything, which is one man in the Choose Your Own Adventure book of life made a choice to sin, to go outside of the rules God had for him. And then from then on, every one of us fell under that adventure. Like because of Adam, one man decided to sin. He was kicked out of the perfect relationship with God. Humanity on earth turns into this other thing, this thing that God didn't choose for us, but we chose for ourselves. And God predicted, and he's been right so far, that there would be death at the end of each life, and that childbirth would really suck, and that we would have to work hard to make a living. And as much as we try to change society, overall, that has proven to be true. Now, the good news, if you're a Christian this morning, or if you'd like to know what Christians believe, if you're interested in what this whole Bible thing is about, the good news is that the Bible says one man's choice changed everything for the worse. Like, because of Adam, we will all die. None of us will get off this planet alive. But because of one man, Jesus, one perfect Son of God who came to earth as a man and lived a completely different kind of life, who sacrificed instead of took and changed everything in another way. It says, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So the story of the Bible is really a choose your own adventure where one person makes one choice and it changes everything for everyone else. And so what you can know from that is like the right choice, and this is just true if you change the slides, the right choice can not only change your life, but it can change your family tree. I mean, that's also true, right? And we talk about sort of generational problems in our society a lot right now. But it just sort of underscores this thought that, man, our choices matter not just to us. But like, I'm here talking to you about Jesus. Now, at some point, I had to make a choice to follow Jesus. But I was introduced to Jesus by my family, by my father and mother who chose to follow him years and years and years ago. My mom's gone on to heaven to be with Jesus, but their choices changed my life forever, and I'm here talking to you about that. And so if you think about like in life, like our faith and our spirituality and our religion and all of those things are generational. And it doesn't mean our kids will do exactly or believe exactly as we do, and in many cases when we're wrong, I hope they don't. But man, one of the most powerful things you could do is to have a faith base for your children. And here's the thing about it, though. Like, it's not just faith, it's health. Like, the way we live, you know, physically, the choices we make, I'm feeling bad about this because I'm a terrible example, but my daughter's rebelling by eating healthy. So I like eat cookies and meat at this point, and she rebels and eats healthy things. But like the way we eat, the way the kind of shape we keep in, all of these things like make an impression, not just they change our lives, but they also like go on generationally, and I mean, and that goes doubly for all the other things we could think of, like wealth. I mean, we talk a lot about privilege in our society, and really, it just shows how much wealth we have. I mean, it's just incredible the fact that we're able to pass on wealth to our families, you know, and that's an amazing thing because there was a time where, you know, only a few families would have anything to pass on. They were the lords and the ladies. They, you know, it was feudalism. It was a time where maybe one person in the town would have anything to pass on, and the rest of us just were subsistence farmers, hunter-gatherers. You know, so it's like all of those things are so true, and the way we act as families, they go on forever. And think about this. Even if all of those things are sort of like, I'm not sure, Don, I think you can pretty much get by on your own. Think about your name. And I'm not talking about just whether you're a Smith or I'm a Record, you know, but the name that comes from your family, like that's generational. Like the good name that your family has in the community and sort of their ethic and what they're known for can carry on for generations and generations, even in a place like America where everyone, you know, can come and go, where we can immigrate, when we can do all of these sort of modern progressive things, it's still your name is so important and can carry on for generations. And so the good news this morning, and the reason why I say all of that is because there is more than one ending to your life story. And I think that's hugely exciting. Like, I mean, though all of us this morning, and I know it's sort of random to go, okay, it's January, we should talk about this. Why didn't we talk about this in August? Doesn't matter. As a culture, it's a great time to talk about new beginnings. And it's a great time to sort of point to you and say, guess what? Your life doesn't have to end any certain way. Like, your life physically, like, all of us have an appointed time to die, but there's nothing in Scripture that actually says, like, it says God knows the number of your days, but it doesn't say, like, you know, that he's going to make you die on that day no matter what, and we should just eat cookies and punch and just hang out. That's the opposite of what it says. So like, you could extend your life, and you could certainly extend your health. Like, the end of your life could be different financially based on what you choose today. Your family tree could change based on what you choose today. And it's so interesting. It's so interesting to think, like, sort of what a big deal it is that we have choices that can reverberate for eternity, and we actually get a chance to choose. And so I know this prisoner of the ant people. I'm not sure. apparently there's over 20 good endings out of that, although I'm trying to think, like, if you are actually a prisoner of the ant people, how that would turn out. I love these. The artwork is my favorite thing of these books. But anyway, but here's the thing. Like, that's all true. But we still have to deal with the big saran ball of life, right? I mean, let's just be realistic. Like, even though you and I, we can make choices, and we should make choices, and our choices really matter because they carry on for generations, that doesn't sort of discount this idea and this truth that everybody sort of has this saran ball. And in that saran ball is something different for all of us. Like, physically, I might choose that, hey, I'm going to be a marathon runner. I don't know if that happened. But genetically, that may not work for me. I may not have that in me. I may not have enough cardio ability to actually become a great runner. Or you might decide, oh, I'm going to take up basketball and you're 5'1". Like, genetically, it's just not in the saran ball for you to be a great basketball player. I'm sorry. And intellectually, all of us have different sort of abilities. Like, some people can just look at a math problem and they get it. And other people, like, they see more in art and literature, and there are the artists among us that can see things that we can't see, and genetically, like, we have different opportunities given to us, and intellectually, some people can just learn something so easily, and others of us just struggle to learn. And so we all, if we're honest with each other, and we need to be honest because we're trying to make a change that can last for generations, like, we all have different things sort of in our saran ball of life, right? Like, sometimes it feels like, how come everybody else is getting lottery tickets and I'm getting chapstick? You know, it's like, and I don't even need chapstick. That's, you know, now, I don't want you to feel bad about me. I am a huge winner, and I know I'm very privileged that I did get a knit hat, a dinosaur, and a buck. That was all I won, but that was in one turn, and you witnessed it. So I'm a huge winner, so I don't want you little people to feel bad. But it is true, like, when you look around in life and you kind of go, oh, how come, like, I've got this new financial plan this year, and it seems like, boy, everybody else just has so much easier time at their work or their industry or their world. And it's not just your opportunity. And let's, even in a small room like this, we look around, and here's the truth. Like, all of us have different opportunity. All of us have different genetics. All of us have different health and different family trees and just different possibilities. And they're not going to be equal. Which is a big problem with sort of looking around and comparing in our world we live in, where we have social media and we can kind of see what everybody else is doing on their vacation. It's easy to compare and just start to feel bad. Like, even though, like, you know, we're pretty fortunate with what we have, we start to compare ourselves. But let's be honest about another thing, and we should realize this, that even though we have possibilities that are just amazing, that we can make choices, like we could make a new financial plan that could make us a millionaire, you know, in the next 10, 15 years maybe, or multi that, and like we could change our family tree financially, we could change our health, we could change our family dynamic, we could change our career, all of those things, it's going to be different for everyone. And just like the Saran ball game, there should be a better name for that because I'm tired of saying Saran ball, but that's just what I can think of calling it. It also depends on the people around us, doesn't it, right? Like, we're not alone. Like, we're affected by the people around us and by chance, really, right? Like, you could choose, like, hey, my resolution is that I'm going to have a great marriage, but it kind of depends on two people, you know? Like, you may well find yourself divorced after you chose to have a great marriage because someone else chose differently. And some of you experience that. You might choose, like, hey, I'm going to get promoted at work. This is my choice, and I'm going to work really hard for that. And your boss might disagree and lay you off this year. Or your industry might change. Your industry might go away, even though you've made these great resolutions, and you're going to change everything, and you're going to build your net worth, and you're going to, you know, you're going to, I guarantee if you decide to drop debt, something terrible financially will happen the next week. That's always the way it happens. It's, you know, ask Dave Ramsey. They have a name for that. But like every time you make these choices, something around you, someone else, the roll of the dice or that person next to you, they affect what happens to you. Now, here's where it gets really sort of difficult if you're a Christian, if you're a Bible person. Because see, we believe that God created the Saran ball, right? Like, we say God created and God's in charge and we pray for God's will. So what happens when you make all these great resolutions and you go, hey, I'm going to change things and I see a brighter future. 2020 is my year, and then bad things come. And when we're Christians and we see everyone else getting like Chick-fil-A gift cards and we're getting, you know, like chapstick and, you know, those hard strawberry candies that only your grandma likes, you know, like when that comes to us and our neighbors are getting Chick-fil-A gift cards and $5 bills, we go, wait a minute. How come that's not happened to me? And I believe God created the Saran ball. Like, God gave me this life and God gave me these opportunities. So how come I don't have the opportunities? And how come the people around me aren't acting the way I hope they would? And how come just chance, just throwing the dice, seems like it goes against me? How come I can't roll doubles to save my life? And that might sound crazy to you, but it's really not that far out, because check this out from Proverbs 16. It actually says in Scripture, so God is in control of Yahtzee. We may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. So every time I lost in Yahtzee, it was actually God caused me to lose. So it gets difficult, right? It gets difficult, but here's the thing, and go back to the main slide. Both things are true. God is in control, and God created this earth and gave us our possibilities and our the things that come out of the great saran ball of life. And people around us, you know, God is good. No, it's beer is good. God is great. And people are crazy. Like the people around us, that's the wisdom I learned from a country song. But the truth is people aren't going to act the way you want them to. And the dice are not going to roll the way you would hope. And so on one hand, we have great possibility. You and I this morning, like you're here this morning, and that's not a mistake. And you can change so many things about your life that will reverberate for generations. But you can't control the future at all. And you can't control the people around you. And so they can throw a big monkey wrench into your plans. And so what would you do? And this is where Scripture comes in, and I'm glad I don't have to figure that out. What would you do if you couldn't fail? I love this book the best, I think, because it's like, you're a millionaire. This was, I think this was from 80 something. And apparently in 81, if you're a millionaire, you just have a suitcase of money and he's just throwing money in the air. And it made me laugh. I'm like, I think in 2020, if you're a millionaire, you're like, I've got to cut my cable bill. It's out of control. Like that, it was a different time, obviously, then. But my question this morning, I was thinking, like, so if you knew you couldn't fail in the new year, like I've told you, like, everybody's different and the saran ball of life will decide, God's going to decide because you have different. But if you knew you could succeed, like whatever you chose to do, whatever your choice was this morning, whatever your resolution, you knew if you just kept at it, you would succeed no matter what. What would you do? Because that's the question, right? Because the real story is a lot of us will stop along the way. I think it's about the third Sunday of the year most of us have stopped. But let's say we keep on. Let's say we keep on with our resolution, our choice to change. What if you knew you wouldn't fail? And so I want to read something from Proverbs. And I just think this is so wise. Like I was thinking, like, what could we start our year with? Because it's so stinking wise. Like, and it's so simple. That's what I love about Scripture. Like, why I'm always blown away by Scripture is I go, this is, I believe this is 4,200 years ago was when we think this was written. And obviously translation, but this is just so simple. It says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. And then it says this, it says, commit your actions to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. Now, let's break that down a little bit. So what it says is probably one of the, I don't know, most shocking things in Scripture is where it just says, we can make our own plans. I mean, that's big, right? Like, I know people still argue, like intellectuals that are way smarter than I am argue about, do we actually have free will? Or are we, you know, and not just the people who are like, we're in a simulation, Joe Rogan. No, I'm doing, like, there are people like, do we actually have free will? Or do we just follow our genetic code? Or you know, but Scripture holds out, and we find this throughout, that we actually can make a choice. We can actually make our own plan. We're not just robots. Now, are we influenced? Oh, my goodness, we're influenced. We're influenced by culture. We're influenced by advertising. I think it would shock us if we knew how much we were influenced by advertising. But like, there's so many things that influence us, but we can make a choice this morning. We can change our plans. We can change our life right now. But what this says, and I believe this is so wise and so simple, like, we can change, we can make any plan we want this morning. Any resolution you want to make, you can make and you could follow through, but it doesn't mean it's the right one, right? Like, you can do whatever you want. You can make whatever choice you want. We have free will. Yay, it's great. But the Lord gives the right answer. So someone, the creator of the saran ball, knows what's coming up next, and we do not. I love this title. Don't bother. You're going to die in most of the endings anyway. I think that's about right. Now, but here's the thing. Now think about this. Here's the second part of this. But so wise. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Now, this is also really, 4,000 years ago, but psychiatry is not even thought of. We don't have therapists then. We don't have any of the things that we think of today, but this is true. Not only, the first verse says you can make any plan you want, but you don't know the future, so you don't know how it's going to turn out. I can choose, and I do. I have many goals this year, for the church and for finances and for the business. I have these goals, and I'm this is what I'd like to see happen. But what verse 1 says is, guess what, Don? You don't know what the future's going to bring in society, in North York County. You don't know what the future's going to bring in your industry, for your business. You don't know what's going to happen in the next election. You don't know so many things, and that's true. I admit that. But it also says, and I find this to be true, even though I don't like it at all, it says people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. We don't even know us. How many of you experienced that? I've experienced that. I go, I think I know what I'm about. And somebody who's wiser than you go, you're angry. And you go, I am not. And you get really mad. And then you go, well, maybe I am, And so there's so many times that the great thing about this that's true is, you don't even know why you want what you want most of the time, or at least I don't. But here's the, and this one we didn't make up, you're a monster. That's just true, right? There's so many of these books, yep, that's true. We're all monsters. And we might think, hey, I'm making this resolution for my family, and it's so that, we'll be happier, and it might be because you want to control things, and you're making this resolution for your health, oh, I just want to be healthier. Maybe you're trying to attract someone, and you're not even being honest with yourself, or, hey, I'm making this financial resolution, we're going to get out of debt, and we're going to save money, and you go, that's just because I want the best for my family, or it might be because you love money. Because that's all of us. We don't even know ourselves. But here's worth every penny you spent coming here this morning, to get your donut. And this is the best thing I could tell you for the new year. Check this out. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. See, this sounds really? But think about this. Here's what this is. This is so powerful. If you get it, if you get this, it changes everything. This is, don't pray for God to bless your team, especially if they're the Eagles or the Baltimore. God does not care. No, he does. He does. I'm sorry. My daughter-in-law is going to be very mad at me right now. But what we do is we go, God bless my team. And we pray really hard. And we go, okay, if I pray hard enough, that is not the way it works. This is what the scripture says, is what we should be doing is going, hey, God, which one is your team, and I'll root for them, right? And that's the closest we're going to get to a sports analogy in 2020. I'm out. I don't even know. But what this is saying is, we were talking about this morning in the huddle, as a church, I don't want to come to God and go, hey, here's our plans for 2020. We got these plans, and God, let's just all pray really hard that he'll bless them. That is not a winning strategy. What this says is if we would say, and this is what we're trying to say as a church, hey, God, what are your plans for 2020? And if we get on board, oh my goodness, we cannot fail, right? It's a backwards thinking. And so that's what this is saying for your life. Make resolutions. Make changes. You could change everything this year. This is so powerful. You could do something that would change not only you, but it would change your family for generations. That's so true. But what scripture says, and what is so helpful, I think, for us as people, is it points out the fact that we don't control the future. So we can make all these plans, but we have no idea what's going to happen. And if we're just really sort of honest with ourselves and look inward, we go, I don't even know me enough to know why I'm doing this. But if there was a creator, if there were someone who had designed the whole thing. In fact, let's put this last picture up. And this is awkward because Craig's here. And I realized, I told his wife, I said, the problem with this analogy is now Craig gets to be God, and I'm not comfortable with this. But in this story, just for a few minutes, Craig, he was the one who designed the Saran ball. It's a friend of ours, and kind enough to sort of spend an afternoon in his own money, like just wrapping up all this amazing stuff for everyone around the table. And like as much as I could go, well, how come I got chapstick and they got a lottery ticket? Like, we didn't earn any of those things. We didn't pay him. Like, he just showed up with the Saran ball and we unwrapped it. And that's sort of the way God is. Like, he's designed this amazing, amazing life. All of these possibilities, and yes, they're different for all of us. And yes, some of us would go, well, how come they, and how come we don't, and how come I can see that, but I can't get it, and how come I don't have the same genetics they do? But somehow our Creator, so kind to us, and he's created this amazing future for us. And what Scripture says, and I want Matt to come back up and play us one more song. But if you think about it, what matters more? You know, like you and I would think, well, the way to win the Saran, you want to be a big winner like me. If you want to be a big winner like me, you know, here's the thing. I really didn't have any great strategy. I'd say I'm better than average in unrolling Saran wrap, but it wasn't really my skill, if I'm being honest. And I couldn't control the dice, and I couldn't control the guy next to me, and I just sort of sat down on the spot without thinking of it. But you know what really mattered is, and once again, I'm uncomfortable that I'm making Craig God in this whole analogy, but what really mattered is what the Creator put in that ball. And so if you put the final slide up here, kind of like the old books, if you'd like to continue this adventure, come back here next week. We got a new part to this, but I want to just, I was thinking, like, what could I tell you this year that would be the most powerful thing that I could tell you, and I mean that. Like, what could I bring you that would be worth your time coming here? I appreciate it when you come here, because you really, like, there's so many options you could do with your Sunday morning. I found out, because I was off last week, and, you know, like, we were in fishing on Saturday. It was amazing. It's like, there's so many, it was South Carolina, and it's like, I know it was warm here, but it was warm there. I don't like fishing, but I like being outside when it's 71 degrees. But, like, you have so many different things you could do, so I always think, like, what could I give you that's worth your time from Scripture, and it's just that. It's like, submit your actions to God. Like, decide what God's plans are. Like, begin to go, God, what are your plans in my industry, in my finances, in my family, in my health even? And then I want what he wants. And here's the good news about it. One more time, Craig gets to be God. Like, there was nothing bad. There was nothing bad in the ball. It wasn't like he put, like, traffic tickets and divorce summonses in the, you know, it's like, oh, wow, I got to pay this. Oh, this is an audit notice. Woo. That's not what he put in the ball. It was all good. All of it was good. And that's what I would tell you this morning. Like, trust God. He has a great plan for you. And then you're guaranteed to succeed if you'll submit your plans to God. Let's pray. God, we're grateful to you. And God, we just have to admit this morning that we don't know what we think we know. Like, we're super grateful that we have an opportunity to make changes, to make resolutions, to make literal choices that will change our generation, our family for generation. But God, we don't control the future. We don't control our health. We don't even control how many days we have on this planet. And quite frankly, God, we admit to you this morning, we don't even know ourselves as well as we think we do. So God, I pray for everyone here this morning. God, they all have potential and possibilities, and God, their life story could be so amazing. And God, I pray that you'll help them, everyone who took the time to come out this morning, that you would help them in that journey. And God, give them guidance, and I pray as they ask you that you would just sort of reveal what your plan is for them, because then we know that they will succeed. In your name we pray. Amen.